There's a Yiddish folk tale that asks God why God did not send an angel to tell Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And the angels would not do it. God asked them, and they said to God, "If you want a message of death, do it yourself." I've kind of felt that way for 18 years now. And why I decided to treat this particular passage for a sermon topic, I really don't know. Other than the fact that I've avoided it for 18 years. It's a very difficult text. It's harsh. It's cruel, even, this story. And it's not an easy one to hear. Because no one wants to think that we have a God who would ask somebody to sacrifice their child. And so I have read over this text, and I have read it, and I have read it in Hebrew, and I have read it in English, and I have studied these words, and I put off writing this sermon until Saturday afternoon, which is something I never do. If I don't have my sermon written by Thursday afternoon, I'm really late on writing my sermon. So it's a difficult subject. It's one that's easy to put off trying to talk about. Look at me, I've put it off for 18 years after all. And so I look at this text and I wrestle with it and I try to understand why it is a part of all of the wonderful stories about Abraham. It says very explicitly, God, after all of these things, tested Abraham. Well, I would like to have translated it the softer way, which says, tempted Abraham. But in the end, it really does not make much difference. Because the reality is, God tested Abraham. After all of these things, well, what are they all? Well, Abraham did this very faithful thing of picking up his family and moving. But if you'll remember the text from last week, he sent Ishmael and his mother Hagar out into the wilderness for probable death. Because that's what Sarah wanted, and yet that's also what God assured him it was okay to do. But then there was this kind of blemish in Abraham's faithful life in which he passed off his wife Sarah as his sister to the Pharaoh. And in fact, gave her to the Pharaoh to be his wife. Because Abraham was afraid the Pharaoh would kill him. So at this particular point in life, after all of this, God decides to test Abraham. God decides to test Abraham. And you're going to see me using more notes today than you've ever seen me use before. Because this is something I have wrestled with. And if God asks Abraham to sacrifice this child, how is he going to be the fulfillment of this covenant that God made with him? His very name, Abraham, is translated as the father of the multitudes. Doesn't God get it? If Isaac is sacrificed, how can Abraham be the father of the multitudes? There's something amiss here. So we have to wrestle with this. How can this possibly be? We're not going to have people as numerous as the stars. One commentary I read said, well, the English translation left out the word please. Well, I studied my Hebrew text over and over again. I couldn't find please in there anywhere. So that, you know, making it a little softer, that one was out the window. Then I thought, oh, well, God's omniscient, right? So God knew that really God at the beginning was going to provide this other sacrifice. And so that's why God did it this way. But we can't even take that out because it says later here in the text that now I know. God says, now I know. So God didn't know up front what all was going to happen. So we can't plead omniscient God to get us off the hook on this text either. So here we are, we're still stuck. And as I read this text, with a lot of help from my reader's aids, I kept seeing that at least three times it says, "Here I am." Hineni in Hebrew. Abraham hears God cry out, "Abraham," and Abraham says, "Here I am." His son, Isaac, says, "Father." Abraham says, "Here I am." And God, on top of the mountain, when Abraham's ready to sacrifice Isaac, says, "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham says, "Here I am. Hineni." Three times it's in there. Hineni is not just saying, "Well, here I am, standing behind the table." Hineni is saying, "I am very present to you. I am ready to listen, and I am ready to do whatever you ask of me." And Abraham is just as present to his son, Isaac, as he is to God. The second thing I discovered as I kept reading through this text over and over was that the word "see" occurs at least four times. See, not in your translation, however. As Abraham walks towards the mountain, he sees the mountain, very literal, see. But then in verse 8, it says, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." But the very word that is used here for provide can also be translated see. So it can actually be saying here, God will see on the mountain. What God will see is not real clear. Well, let's see. Will God see Abraham with a knife raised? Will God see Isaac lying there on the altar ready to be slaughtered with big scared eyes and anxiety radiating from his body? Will God see the ram caught? It's not clear, but God sees and God knows. And then later, it very explicitly says, Abraham sees the ram that's caught by its horns. Very explicit, sees. And then the whole text closes with "the Lord will provide. It shall be on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." Again, the word can be translated, "on the mount of the Lord, God sees." So I'm going around thinking, being very present, here I am, and seeing. It's important, or it wouldn't be here all these number of times in this short reading. So Abraham is an example for us of how we must be very, very present to God, open to God and what God wants us to do, even when sometimes it is the most horrific thing God might ask us to do. Or if God is asking us to give up the most precious things that we treasure. Sometimes it is a matter of letting children go. Yes, they go off to college, you have to let them go. Yeah, right. They go off to kindergarten, you have to let them go. This is not a text about child sacrifice, because there are so many other places in Scripture where it speaks explicitly against child sacrifice. In Leviticus 18:21, God says, "You shall not give any of your offspring to sacrifice them." Jeremiah reports God saying, "They keep on building the high places to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my mind." God's never even thought of it. Ezekiel relates, "When you offer your gifts and make your children pass through the fire, you defile yourselves with all your idols to this day." So it is clear that God is not in favor of child sacrifice. So then we go back to Abraham and Isaac. God wants us to see, to be present to God, but God also wants us to see. God is testing Abraham, and we hear this word test. What do we think, test? What do you think of when you hear the word test? I felt like I was being tested when I tried to get my Rhode Island license plate. They do not want people to move to Rhode Island. They do everything they can do to discourage you. The testing, when you're being pushed to the very limit of all that you can endure, is another form of testing. But then, what is our most frequent occurrence of the word test? How about school? Test after test. And this time of year, students have just finished a whole slew of them. A test, and I say this as a former teacher, is an assessment of whether you have mastered something and are ready to move on to the next thing. So perhaps after all of these things that Abraham has done well or not done well, God wants to know if Abraham truly has his values where they should be, and is he ready to move on to the next step, which is to literally be the father of nations. Because as we know, Abraham is named as the father of Muslims, Jews, and Christians. So perhaps God wants to know whether Abraham has his priorities straight, and is he ready to put all this other baloney behind him and truly be faithful and trusting of God in all things. And when he says in verse 8, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son, maybe Abraham really believes God is going to provide. And therefore, Abraham can risk the possibility that his son will have to be sacrificed because he really does believe God will provide. And in believing that God truly will provide, Abraham is saying, God is God, the all-powerful, capable of doing the most amazing things in the world, and God can, even in the middle of the most horrendous situations, provide what is needed. And what Abraham needs God to provide in this situation is life for his son. And that is exactly what God does. God not only sees, but God provides all of the needs for Abraham. And the most precious thing at this time is the life of his son. And so Abraham shows God, and God can very cheerfully, I suppose, say, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me, I know. That you fear God. And fear is not that scared kind of thing. Fear in biblical language frequently means to revere, to hold in high esteem, to hold up the highest place possible. So God knows now that Abraham holds God absolutely the highest place possible, even above his son. If we had talked about Matthew 10 last week as was a possibility, we would have read, do not think, Jesus says, that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Another very difficult text. in a world where we value our families and our children, it is still saying God is the supreme one. And we have to hold God above everything else. Everything Abraham has, this beautiful son, is obviously a gift from God because his wife, Sarah, was barren until she was past childbearing years. And now, all of a sudden, she has a child. Abraham, in Hebrews or someplace, says he was as good as dead before Isaac was born. So God has given this child to them. God provides, God gives everything to Abraham. God gives everything to us. Nothing we have is ours. Everything we have is a gift from God. And as being a gift from God, we are to treasure it and value it and be good stewards of it. But like Abraham was asked to give up his son, his most precious thing, we too are at times asked to give to God our most precious things. It might be that God asks us to give more in our pledges to the church. It might be that God takes away one job to call us to another job in which we will serve God in a different way. It may be that God asks us to let our children go to faraway places where they are in danger constantly for a job, because that's where they can serve God best. And God knows exactly what it's like to give up the thing that is dearest in the world to you, because God sent his only son into the world to die on a cross. And in the midst of that horrible, horrible situation, God brings life. And in that life-giving, that resurrection of Jesus, God promises each and every one that even out of death, we will be raised to life eternal. God does provide. God brings life, even in the midst of death. Praise God for life and all that we have.